Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This evening, we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, with purport. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 3, entitled Karma Yoga. Text number 7. Yastvindriyani Manasa.
Yastvindriyani Manasa.
Yastvindriyani Manasa.
Yastvindriyani Manasa.
Niyamya Rabate Arjuna.
Niyamya Rabate Arjuna.
Niyamya Rabate Arjuna.
Niyamya Rabate Arjuna.
Karmendriyai Karma Yogam.
Karmendriyai Karma Yogam.
Karmendriyai Karma Yogam.
Karmendriyai Karma Yogam.
Begins. Arjuna,
Arjuna,
O Arjuna,
O Arjuna,
Karma Indriyai,
Karma Indriyai,
by the active sense organs,
by the active sense organs,
Karma Yogam,
Karma Yogam,
devotion,
devotion,
Asakta,
Asakta,
without attachment,
without attachment,
Saha,
Saha,
he. Visishyate,
Visishyate,
is far the better.
Is far the better.
Translations. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga, in parentheses, in Krishna consciousness, without attachment, He is by far superior. So we'll read responsibly. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries
to control the active senses
by the mind
and begins karma yoga
in Krishna consciousness
without attachment
he is by far superior. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Instead of becoming a pseudo transcendentalist for the sake of wanton living and sense enjoyment, it is far better to remain in one's own business and execute the purpose of life, which is to get free from material bondage and enter into the kingdom of God. The prime svaradhagati, or goal of interest, is to reach Vishnu. The whole institution of varna and ashrama is designed to help us reach this goal of life. A householder can also reach this destination by regulated service in Krishna consciousness. For self-realization, one can live a controlled life as prescribed in the Shastras and continue carrying out his business without attachment, and in that way make progress. A sincere person who follows this method is far better situated than the false pretender who adopts show-bottle spiritualism to cheat the innocent public. A sincere sweeper in the street is far better than the charlatan meditator who meditates only for the sake of making a living. So this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and the knowledge of Vedic literature, is coming down to us since a very long time. You can say time immemorial, beyond your remembrance, through disciplic succession. And we can see how Srila Prabhupada is not concocting something new or different for the modern age. While I was in Bombay last year, translator, one of the translators of the 11th, 12th, canto, 10th, 11th, 12th, cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they finished Srila Prabhupada's epic work to translate the Bhagavatam. Gopi Purana Dana, very erudite scholar in Sanskrit and in the Shastras. He studied for over 30 years very nicely. Anyway, we were reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we were reading from, we would take a verse and we would read the commentary of Sridhar Swami, and then we would read the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his commentary, and then we would read the commentary from Jiva Goswami, and then we would read Srila Prabhupada's commentary. And although there might be a little bit of different emphasis here and there, but what Prabhupada was saying was basically the same thing as all these other commentators had said before him. There is no need to invent something new. So here, this idea that one should practice karma yoga and Krishna consciousness, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna, because Arjuna, after the second chapter, he's still bewildered. He has to fight, you know the story, he has to fight against his teachers, not only fight and inflict a few wounds, he has to kill them. It's a battle to the death. He has to kill some of his relatives. It's not an easy proposition. And Arjuna, being the good soul that he is, decides that he'd rather not fight, although it's his duty as a soldier to fight, but he said, I'd rather become a conscientious objector. Well, that's all right for someone who's not a soldier, but someone who by nature is a soldier should not give up his duty for a righteous battle. So he puts it to his friend Krishna that I am bewildered, my mind is going in a chakkar. Now I'm your sishya, steham shadi maam tvam prapanam. Now I'm your disciple, a soul surrendered on you. Please instruct me. So Krishna instructs him, yudhyasva vigata jvara, you fight. Free from an egoistic spirit, that you're the doer, free from lethargy, you fight. Do thou fight for the sake of fighting without considering happiness or distress, profit or loss, like that, victory or defeat. Fight because I tell you to fight. That is your reason. Just like someone goes to war and kills 100 men, he comes back and he gets a medal. Blue Cross or the Green Cross or the Medal of Honor or whatever. But then he kills one person in the street of New York and he's put in jail. Perhaps, you know, electrocuted or something. Because in the first hand, he's killing under the order of superior authority, and in the second instance, he's killing due to his own whimsy. So when we are ordered, the Bhagavad Gita is not a treatise on war, But when we are ordered by the Lord directly to do something, it behooves us to immediately turunt and do it. You don't object if you actually have, if you're a surrendered soul. So Arjuna is putting objections. He doesn't want to fight, and Krishna explains in the second chapter a summary of the whole teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. And then in the third chapter, Arjuna says, well, I'm bewildered now. You're engaged, encouraging me to fight, but you said that knowledge, acquiring knowledge, is superior than working, than action, fighting. And then Krishna explains to him, Nahi kaschit shanam api jatu tishtati akarmakrit. You cannot refrain from working. This is the point. You cannot go to the Himalayas, you cannot go anywhere and completely suspend all animation. It's not possible. Even you go to the Himalayas, your mind will move. To stop activity is impossible, because the nature of the soul is that the soul is active. You take the active principle out from the body, then there's no more action. Then you're dead. The body is dead. No more seeing, hearing, smelling. But as long as the soul is there, the soul is by nature active. So Krishna says you have to act. So you had best act under my guidance, with my interest at heart, and specifically in the previous verse that you read last week, karmendriyani samyamya ya aste manasa smaran indriyartan vimudata vimudatma mityacharasa uchite. It is possible. The mind is very tricky, and the materialistic mind, and the materialistic mind will engage the living being in a show of spiritual life. This is, we see it all the time. There's one Baba in India who, you know, for years and years was cheating people, sitting on Krishna's throne, allowing his followers to call him Bhagavan. Now we see that he was just a pretender, mityacharasa uchite, someone who makes a show of restraining his senses, but his mind is always meditating on sense gratification. Of course, I'm sure you've all heard the story of the Brahmana and the prostitute. Not everyone heard that story. There was, in one town, there was a Brahmana and a prostitute living next door to each other. So the Brahmana was practicing his rituals very nicely and restraining his senses, and every day some customers were coming to see the prostitute, and you know, he'd look out his window, oh my God, so many customers are coming today, oh, terrible. But then they both died at the same time. And then the Yamadutas, the agents of Yamaraj, the king of death, they came, and the Vishnudutas came. So the Vishnudutas went to the house of the prostitute, and the Yamadutas came to the house of the Brahmana. So the Brahmana immediately objected, "You've got the wrong address. You're meant to go next door. The Vishnudutta should come for me." And they said, "No, it says right here, you know, so-and-so Bhattacharya. How is it possible? Well, you were doing your rituals in a superficial way, but the whole time you were thinking, gee, I wish I could be one of those clients. Gee, I wish I could go to the prostitute and enjoy my senses." And the prostitute, she was thinking, oh, I'm so fallen. I have somehow been engaged in this hellish occupation. I wish I could be like that Brahmana. You're so saintly. Oh, Lord, please give me a chance in my next life to be like that Brahmana. She was thinking like that. So at the time of death, you thought of the prostitute, and she thought of Vishnu, or she thought of you. So, anyway, this type of cheating, mithyachara, it goes on. So here, Krishna is saying that if one tries to control the senses by the mind, it is possible. Now, keep in mind, Arjuna said this also, that it's hard to control the senses. And he even said that his mind was hard to control. That was 5,000 years ago, and he was emperor of the world, not a small person. But he said, Chanchala Imana Krishna Pramati Balavatridam Pasyaham Nigraham Mane Vayoriva Sudushka. I would have more luck in controlling Vayu, the wind, than I my mind. It goes here and there automatically. Even when I'm chanting Japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Mind goes everywhere. So Krishna said, yes, Arjuna, you're right. It is hard to control the mind. But abhyasena tukanteya vairagena chagriyate, by living a simple life, a renounced life, and by constant practice, it is possible, and I will help you. I will help you if you try. The key here is try. Try your very best. What you achieve will be by God's grace, but you try. Because if you don't try for devotional service, if you don't try for controlling your mind will surely try to take you to hell, and you will win. So you have to try to fight back. And it's not a one-day struggle or a two-day struggle. It's a lifetime struggle, but it gets better. And there are rewards. There's lots of rewards. Krishna is very kind. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena maam upayanti te. Those who are engaged in my service, priti purvakam, I give them with real priti, love, who are trying to serve me. I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. So the devotee is not bereft of association and guidance. Paramatma from within guides him. But you have to try. You have to take steps. You have to act to control your mind. You have to create your household like a temple. This temple is not a place for you to come. It's a place for you to learn how to make your home like this. So that wherever you go, in your car, in your house, you have your own business in your office, and if you have your own desk at somebody else's business, or whatever it is, you try to make it Krishna conscious, and you use the fruits of your work for the service of the Lord as much as you can. And I know one of the favorite verses of people that I meet sometimes in Bharatabhumi is that karmanyeva dikaraste. So they know the first line of the verse. You have a right to do your work. Be unattached. One lakh rupees comes, I'm unattached. God's mercy. I will go on a foreign tour. If 10 lakh rupees comes, I'm unattached. I'll go on a foreign tour and I'll buy a new Ford. What was that car they have in India now? The Ford. Anyway, they have one model of Ford there, and they have a number of European cars. So I'll go on a foreign tour, and when I get back, I'll buy a new Ford car. And if a crore comes, I'm not attached. Lord's mercy, I'm simply working. The result is coming by Lord's grace. I'll go on a foreign tour, I'll buy a new car, and I'll buy a bungalow in Juhu. But that's not the meaning of the verse. The karmani eva adhikar. You have a right to work, but adhikar ma phalesu. You don't have a right to the fruit. If you need for simple living 5,000 rupees and 10,000 rupees comes, that's all right. You take 5,000 and you spend 5,000 for a good cause. If 1 lakh rupees comes, no problem. God's grace, you take 5,000 for your expenses and you spend 95,000 for God's work. If, you know, 1 crore comes, that's all right. Don't worry. You take 5,000. At that point, you can even take 6,000. But you spend 96,94,000 for Krishna's work. So that is bhakti yoga, or Krishna, Prabhupada refers to bhakti yoga as karma yoga with Krishna consciousness. He sometimes calls it buddhi yoga. But basically, there's a difference between straight karma yoga is where you work and you do what you want to do and you give the fruit. And bhakti yoga is where you work according to Krishna's desire, according to varna and ashrama. You work according to your position. And you use the fruits directly for Krishna's service. You can give charity to someone in the mode of ignorance. Everybody gives charity, especially in America. A lot of charity over some 135 crores, 150 crores every year given in charity. Not crores, $1 billion, I'm sorry. $35 billion. That's more than the GNP of many countries. More than the gross national production of many countries. But they're giving to the wrong causes. You know, they're giving to help people have abortions, or they're giving to, you know, drunks on the street, or and you get some result from that. The result is that you become a rinni, a debtor, and you have to, that person will take birth again and he has to repay you, so you have to take birth again to take payment. And in that way it's very complicated. You can give to someone in the mode of passion, or you can give charity in the mode of goodness, which is obviously the best. So, here Prabhupada in the purport refers to a verse from the Puranas that Nate Vidu Swartha Katimhi Vishnu. People don't know what the goal, the ultimate goal in life is. People are lost, they're actually bewildered. I operate the chetasam, their bewildered mind. Pravritim cha, navritim cha, janam navidur asura. They're asuras, basically. They can be converted to suras by a potent preacher, Lord Chaitanya. But basically people are acting, 99.9% are acting in abeyance to or against the laws of God. And they may claim ignorance, but it's no excuse. The reason is they don't realize that they're svartha gatim, their self-interest, svartha gatim, their goal, their real self-interest. interest is to worship the Supreme Spirit. So, and who is that? That is Vishnu, or Krishna. Prabhupada talks here about householders, and I assume that most of you are holding houses, so, or at least apartment holders, if not a householder. So, Prabhupada says that you can practice Krishna consciousness. I'm sure that Prabhupada was a grihastha most of his life. From 1959, he took sannyas, so for about 20 years he was a sannyasi, a little over 20 years. But for most of his life, from the age of 20, I forget when he got married, he was young, because he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in 1922, and by that time he was already married and had children. So at least from 22 to 59, say 20 to 60, 40 years, he was in Grihastha Ashram, or in the latter stage you could say Vanaprastha. But he was serving Krishna. So, temples, satsangs, etc., these are all for the benefit of grihasthas. There is a tendency while mixing with non-devotees to get infected by their desires. Desires are infectious. I was just at one devotee's house, and he and his whole family had got a kind of flu. So I was very reticent to spend long at their house, because in the air, the germs are there, and anyone can go there and pick it up. You don't see it, how it happens, but the germs are not visible to your naked eye, but they get in your system, and I hope tomorrow I don't have the flu. It would kill me. So, while associating with non-devotees, we may not know how it acts, but if we don't insulate ourselves by keeping association with devotees, and by having a morning program of sadhana, there's every chance that we will get contaminated. So a householder can be Krishna conscious, definitely, but you have to create a situation where you are not affected by their association, but they are affected by yours. And of course, last year Prabhupada quotes, I believe it was Bhakti Siddhanta, who stated that it was far better to be a sincere street sweeper than to be a charlatan meditator. So, a sincere street sweeper, someone might look down upon him, oh, low class person. But I remember going to Karachi. And basically, the Hindus left in Pakistan are those who couldn't make it out at the time of partition. So our temple and our devotees in Karachi, there's quite a large group of them, they're all living in a local bungi colony. Now, a bungi is a person who cleans toilets. Don't get much lower class than that. You know, someone who's cleaning other people's toilets all day long. You could say that that's a low class. It's not, you know, a very best occupation that one could pray for. Although, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he was so humble that he would go and chant his japa near the stool fields. Because he wanted to be ignored, he wanted to be left alone, so he could lose bhajan. So it goes both ways, but anyway, these devotees are so enthusiastic to serve Krishna, even though they're of a so-called low background. And it is stated, Aho bata swapa chato gariyan yach jivagre bhartate tupyam te kustapus te juhubu sashmaraya brahman chunama granam yete. That even a swapach, someone who is a dog eater, and you see that in different parts of Asia, right from Korea to China, you know, there's a saying that what they won't eat but the kitchen sink, and what they won't, you know, cockroaches and rats and this and that, and dogs, monkeys. Anyway, you might get disgusted by that, but now we actually have very nice devotees there in China and Korea by the power of the holy name. So even if someone is low born, but if they take up the practice of Krishna consciousness and chanting, it should be considered that they have already in previous births undergone all kinds of ritualistic processes. They've already completed all of that to get the mercy of the Lord and to be able to chant his name. There's one very powerful acharya in our line who only 6 months before he took up bhakti and became a great preacher, he was actually eating fish and I believe also